Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin and you're looking to make the leap from amateur to full-on pro? Well, you can start by rehearsing at a professional rehearsal space. Yes, that place is called Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. Countless pros, including myself, practice there. Just call and talk to one of their friendly and courteous staff at 512-448-9518 or look them up at spaceatx.com. Tell them you heard about it on How Did I Get Here and get a free hour. That's Space, rehearsal and recording. Now, let's get down. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello! Welcome to episode 298. Wow, man, we're cruising to 300. I got a great show for you for 300. I also have a great show for you for episode 299. The best of the music is episode 299. I play about 12 songs from artists that were on the show, songs that I got turned on to through the podcast. And I'm also going to make a Spotify playlist for it, which I'll post next week on Tuesday when it comes out. But I was thinking this morning when I was taking a shower, I was thinking, you know, maybe you guys should also, if you're on Spotify and you got turned on to some music through the podcast, because I get emails, I get tweets, I run into people at shows and they're like, oh, hey, you're here at this show. Like say for instance, it happened to me at Sphinx once. Hey, you're here at this Sphinx show. Like, yeah, hey, I heard about them through your show. Okay, so why don't you go on Spotify and make a playlist of music that you got turned on to through the podcast, if you want. Is that stupid? I think it's cool. Anyway, I have a great show for you guys today. I have CB Hudson and Matt Nevesky. They are members of Blue October, and they have opened a studio this year that is amazing. I went to it. I hung out there. We did the interview there, but I got a tour of the whole place, and it is first class. I mean, it is... go to orbrecordingstudios.com, O-R-B, orbrecordingstudios.com, and check this place out. They are doing an amazing thing over there. They've opened an amazing facility, first class, people coming in from all over the place, Biebers, Lil Wayne's, I'm not kidding, all this stuff. They got a best in class from Mix Magazine already. They've worked with I Am Dynamite there. And look, they've got a live streaming show of Quiet Company on August 16th at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, there'll be a link on the orbrecordingstudios.com website to watch this. But it's going to be streaming live. They're going to be playing songs from their new album, Transgressor. Quiet Company recorded Transgressor there with Matt Nevesky. And anyway, the studio is great. Went there, took the tour, hung out, did the interview. We will get to that in just a minute. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I am doing, tomorrow night, I will be at the... at the Soundtrack Series, live podcast recording at the ND in Austin. I think it starts at like 8 p.m. I'll be there along with Dale Dudley, Lori Gallardo, many other people. The thing is you get up and you tell the story about a song, one specific song, and you tell a story of how, you know, that song affected you in some way. They're really great. Anyway, I'm doing it. I'm doing Head Over Heels by Tears for Fears. All right. Let's talk about Austin Pets Alive, okay? We're going to talk to Dr. Ellen Jefferson from Austin Pets Alive because a couple months ago, I was fortunate enough to be a part of their Music and Mutts campaign, which is still going on. Tons of musicians. I believe now it's over 100, okay? And anyway, they need some help out there. And they've been able to keep Austin a no-kill city. Austin Pets Alive has been able to do that. And so they need help. They need help getting their bigger dogs adopted. They need help with people donating money. They need help with people coming by and volunteering and helping walk the dogs, helping clean the dogs, play with the dogs. And in any way possible, they need help. So let's quickly talk to Dr. Ellen Jefferson from Austin Pets Alive. And find out how you can help. And then we'll talk to CB and Matt. Let's get down. Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Austin Pets Alive. They are a, what are you?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit shelter and rescue group.
Yes, and you save animals.
Yes, we save over 6,000 animals a year.
And you've kept Austin a no-kill city for quite a while.
Yes, we have.
Okay. It's the largest no-kill city in the country.
Mm-hmm, it is.
And so how do you do that? How do you keep Austin Pets Alive going?
Well, when we started in 2008, we started with the intention to make Austin a no-kill city. And at that point, we were killing 50% of the animals that came into the shelter. 14,000 animals died in 2007. And Austin Pets Alive started saving the ones that were on death row. And that's how we've gotten to create the programs that they needed all along to be saved. And now they're there, and we can save them.
And you're not funded by the city, by any government thing. You are literally funded by the community.
Yes.
So people can get involved on many different levels, adopting, donating, fostering, and volunteering. How do do that?
They can go to our website and sign up for any of those things. And every single action matters. We need everybody's support.
Yes. By fostering a dog, you open up a cage.
Yes.
By
and then
opening
we can
your
go
home,
save
you
another.
Open a cage.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone else, for some other dog to not be killed.
That's right.
Yeah. So people can go to the website. They can figure out how to adopt, how to volunteer, how to foster, and how to donate, which is important. If you live anywhere in the country or the world and you want to make a donation to keep Austin a no-kill city, as long as it stays a no-kill city, that'll spread, won't it?
Well, yes, definitely. And we have an American Pets Alive program that we actually teach other cities to do what we're doing.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, if you live in another city, you can go to austinpetsalive.com or .org, sorry, and find out all about it.
That's right.
Is there anything else I'm missing?
No.
All right,
great.
Dr. Ellen Jefferson, thank you so much. And thank you so much to Austin Pets Alive.
Thank you.
You know what you can do? Go to austinpetsalive.org and help out. All right, let's talk to CB Hudson and Matt Nevesky. They're members of Blue October, and they have opened Orb Recording Studios. You can check it out at orbrecordingstudios.com. First class, baby. First class. I went there, and I felt the vibe. And that's what they said. You can look at all the pictures you want online, but until you go there and feel the vibe, you might not actually totally get it. So here are my friends, Matt Nevesky, CB Hudson, Orb Recording Studios. Let's get down. So the studio's been open since March 16th.
Yes.
And you've had a flood of people. I was looking at pictures today of everyone you've had in on your Facebook and everything. Talk to me about it. How did you, first of all, you're both in Blue October.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, as we get older as musicians, we want to diversify our interests just a bit, right?
Correct.
So, you and I are friends, Matt. Mm-hmm. I know that you've been producing and you've been working with a lot of bands. Were you also producing CB outside of?
I do not produce.
Oh, you don't?
I might sit in sometimes with him and maybe give it a shot at some point, but as of now, no, I don't.
Okay. So that was how you wanted to have maybe your own, like, what got you interested in doing it, Matt? That's what I'm trying to ask you, man.
Well, producing just is something that really just, you know, I always make the joke with people that, like, I didn't just wake up one day and I was like, I'm going to be a producer today. And that's my new occupation. That's my new job. It was like, I think for the first, like, 3 years of producing, I didn't really know I was producing.
Right.
You know, it was like I was doing it for fun. And I was working on friends' records. And, I was working with some other bands. And I was really just doing it just because it was what I loved to do. And then one thing kind of led to another, and then it became kind of more of a, well, this is something I feel like I'm good at, and you know, and I feel like I'm really good at working with other artists. And then it also kind of just sort of suited my personality a little bit because I'm extremely ADD, you know, so I get to be in a new band every month.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I
feel.
This is awesome. And you know, you do the same thing, you know, so. So that, you know, that was definitely a very natural process. That was a very organic, you know, thing, and it just happened. And then after a few years of doing that and then it turning from just producing and doing it for fun into a business, Seb and I being really close friends and being together, you know, for how long now, you know, with the band.
To me, this seems like something that was kind of plotted out, like, in a bus.
In the back of the bus.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Like, hey, man,
yeah,
you know what we should do?
Yeah. That's actually where it was somewhere on the East Coast. It was in the back of a bus, probably. After a couple beers, 2 in the morning, we're like, man, let's build a studio, let's do it.
Yeah.
And it started off slow, but then, God, I was looking back, we started emails with Mark in 2010. Isn't that crazy? It's been that long.
Could have gotten a degree by now.
So, you know, we started talking about the idea, like I told you earlier, you know, we started looking at existing places, and you know, everything we found, it was like, okay, this is cool, this could work, we can make it work. And then we decided, hey man, instead of wasting all of our energy trying to find a place where we can make it work, why don't we build it from the ground up? We can have it designed correctly, have all the rooms floated, you know, do everything right from the beginning. And that's when we contacted Mark. You know, had coffee with him and started chatting about it, and he started coming up with some designs. And basically the only thing we did is we picked the floor plan. And after that, I mean, we looked at Mark, we're like, dude, you're an artist, like, go for it. Like, we don't,
didn't have like a, oh, we worked in this one studio, we wanted to be like,
well, no,
that.
there was a bit of that. I mean, we definitely, I think, you know, in the beginning phases, we went, you know, one thing, I guess it was sort of like a checklist of like different options. You know, it was like, well, we could do, you know, we could do, you know, however many studios, and we could do this size room, and we could do this size room over here, and then we could do a bigger control room, we could do a piano room, we could do this many ISO booths. So, but I think that some of it, I will admit, we sort of stole a little bit of, this is what we love about this studio. This is what we love about this studio. One of the things I loved about Pardinalis was the piano room. Yeah. I just love that vibe in there, and I love there being this really intimate, vibey room that was with, you know, it was nothing but the Rhodes and the piano and the, the Yamaha, whatever it was they had in there. And it was, you know, it was like, I think it was Bobby, his sister's room. She said, that's my room. And she stopped in one day, and I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
We wanted something like that. So we definitely kind of ripped off some other studios in a sense, but we also took a lot of lessons, I would say maybe even more so, from places that we've been, things that we didn't like.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the reasons we have such a big control room in the A room, is I'm sick and tired of having to make room to fit in the control room during the record making process. I hate that. Yeah. You know, but once we got to that point, like Sieb said, and we basically stuck to a floor plan, we let Mark be an artist. We didn't just tell him, do this, and do this. We said, we want you to feel ownership in this when this is all said and done, so you do your thing.
And what's Mark's last name?
Genfin.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so another thing too is that, so CB, what was your role going to be? Like studio manager, co-owner?
Yeah,
this is an investment for you?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I almost have an MBA in business from Texas State, and so it's kind of allowing me to kind of, you know, 15
use it
years later.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is definitely like an extremely first. This is like first class. Mm-hmm. This is where the biggest people would come and record. It has that feeling, and it's of that caliber. It's interesting to go into that sort of business at a time when the business that you're opening this business for is in a strange space and in some sort of a decline. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that it's sort of the middle-sized studios that are the ones that drop, because there's still bigger ones that are flourishing.
Right. Wow. There are a lot of really small studios that are always going to be busy, because that's, you know, there are a ton of artists that have no budget and they have no money, and that, you know, or they're just working a lot and they need somewhere they can work very regularly, that they're not staring at the clock and worrying about it.
Right.
So those are always going to be around, but there's always going to be the need for a really professional room where you can get real sounds and you can get real drum sounds. And if a band wants to come in and you have a country artist or you have a country act that wants to come in and play live and record a tape, you need that room. Yeah. You need that kind of a studio. You need that kind of a caliber place. But you're absolutely right. I mean, this is probably the weirdest time to open a studio like this. So a lot of people just looked at us and they were like, I mean, friends of ours are like, you're nuts. Yeah. Why the hell would you do that? Why would you open a studio? But
what did you guys see as, like, where did you, obviously you saw you would fit in somewhere, there was a need for you and what you would provide.
Yeah, I mean,
how did you find that?
When we really started kind of researching Austin too, we were really blown away that, you know, the music capital of the world, yet there was not really a high-end facility here.
Right.
And we were just like, wow, I'm so surprised that there's not one here. So, I mean, that was kind of the niche.
Yeah.
That was the niche that we saw.
I tell a lot of people that we would have had way more of an uphill battle if we were doing this in LA or New York or Nashville, because we would be one of many, and here, and I mean, there are, obviously there are other really great studios here in Austin that have a lot of history and they're fantastic.
Sure.
But it's just a different vibe than what we're doing.
Totally.
And I don't know of another place in Austin, like Seeb said, that's doing this.
Right. How do you sell this to people? Like, how do you get this? Is that your job, Seeb?
Well, we both do, that's why we have Heather here.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, to other artists, like, do you go to labels? Did you go to producers?
Everything.
Did you go to bands?
Yeah. And the biggest saying is, you know, everyone has the exact same reaction. Oh, wow, cool. Yeah, another recording studio. Awesome. And then we get them into the building.
Yeah.
And when they walk in the door, that's when they get it. They're like, wow.
Yeah.
This place is different. You know? Yeah. And that's like the best. It's what we laugh all the time. Like, whenever someone's showing interest, we're like, we just gotta get them in for a tour. We gotta get them in. Because once they walk in the door, it's like, we sell them. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll just pester the crap out of them until they finally show up. And seriously, and they're like, okay, I get it. And what I'm finding now is, you know, even today, you know, I ran into a friend of mine who's a producer and engineer here in town. He's a really good, he's actually a good friend of mine. He still hasn't been here. And he was like, okay, I get it. I've heard about it. Now right. I know you're not BSing me. I'll come check it out.
Right.
You know, but the thing is we all know that, you know, like, it's so easy to go look at a studio's website. And I think people are jaded. I know I am. When I see a studio's website and I see that they get some really crazy cool fisheye lens view of the control room. And,
but
and
this place is actually so big, you need that fisheye lens
capture
everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And you expect, and you've gotten, it's gotten to the point where it's like, it's so easy to make something look so much bigger and better and cooler on a website that you forget that, you know, firsthand experience, you know, it's like going and hanging out with somebody versus Facebook friending them, you know,
right.
It's like, oh yeah, you know what? It is kind of cool to hang out with people sometimes.
Yeah.
So getting people here, it's the same thing. You get them through the door and they walk in and they look around and they go, wow, this is the kind of place that I want to be. I would feel inspired to work at, that I would actually show up and I would be creative and feel good about it.
Yeah. And you guys came up with obviously you might have come up with the business plan.
Yeah, we both did, you know.
Just, yeah, this is just really impressive. This is a really impressive space, and what you guys have created is pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. What happens when Blue October goes to work again?
That's a really good question.
maybe we'll give them a deal.
No. I mean, not even in here. If it's like, oh, it's time to go on tour again, guys.
Yeah.
And it's
fortunately, you know, it hasn't really affected anything so far. Well, mm-hmm. Kind of. We did have a slow month in May. Mm-hmm. We were actually on tour,
okay.
And it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, not every month you can knock it out of the park.
Sure.
But. Because now we all have families, so mm-hmm. Our touring schedule isn't what it used to be. Like, we used to go out on the road for 8 weeks and come home for 3 weeks and go back out for six. I mean,
yeah.
We don't do that anymore. We go out for 3-4 weeks, tops, come home for 3 or 4 weeks and go back out and come home. Everything is real spread out just so, you know, we can spend time with our families and our kids and,
right.
and stuff like that. So, and we have, you know, we have Robert, we have Kevin. Our engineers that are bringing in business as well whenever we're gone. So.
Right, and we live in a world where you don't really have to be in a place to do the business that needs to be done.
When we're on the road and we have a day off, I mean, that's, you know, it's hard. I will admit that being on tour, it is hard sometimes to have a day off after 5 shows in a row and go, I'd really love nothing more than lay in my bunk right now and do nothing, but I can't because I have a lot of work to catch up on.
Yeah.
I find that there are no days off anymore.
Yeah.
But... it's so far, it's all, like Seeb said, it really hasn't been a problem. Like, you know, being on the road, you can work on those things while
sure.
you're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you're lucky for. Yeah. So you've also, like, you won Best in Class from Mix Magazine. You won Best Studio from AMP.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those are great accolades.
Yeah.
Because people hadn't seen that sort of thing down here yet, or because it was new and it's an amazing studio. And those are, did you guys reach, what is AMP? The Austin Music People.
Yeah,
right.
Austin Music People.
Is that, are you guys affiliated with them in any way? You're affiliated with Black Fret, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, with Black Fret, yeah.
Explain that, because then you're, now at this point, you're also like the big studio that needs to make a living, but also reaching out to the community here.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, it goes hand in hand. You know, if we were, I mean, I think Seeb and I both agree that if we were doing this just... if it wasn't really about the love of creating music and about the art and about seeing potential in what Austin could become and being a part of that community, I don't know if we would have went through with this. It really is. I mean, it's our intentions and our motivation behind this are very pure,
right.
And we really care. We really do care about that. It's not, you know, if this was just, hey, let's create a business. Like, this is not, this wouldn't have been in our top 100 things to do.
No.
It definitely wouldn't have been. But it's about something much deeper for both of us, and so that kind of goes hand in hand with that. You know,
right.
So I think becoming an active part of things like Black Fret.
What's your role there? You're on the board?
I'm on the board. Okay. I'm a mentor.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a brand new thing. It's something that I just joined, but it's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's something that to me is like, it's everything I love about living here in Austin.
Right.
Those are the kind of things that happen here.
Yeah, those kind of things don't happen.
Yeah,
in
you don't,
places.
I just, I don't, I've never seen anything like that in LA, you know?
No.
But yeah, I think it's really cool, and I think that it's important. I think you have somewhat of a responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, when you take the step from just being, hey, I'm a guy that gets contracted to make records on my own whenever I feel like it, to I'm going to open a studio, and I'm going to try to make a statement, and I'm going to work with other people and be a part of the community, you got to step it up.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to take time to go out there and learn what's going on and stay
right.
on top of it and care.
Right, right. And now also you have a facility with the people that you can bring them in and work, you know, like, didn't you, you've worked with I Am Dynamite for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Didn't they just do something here, a record?
They actually just finished half of the record, and they'll be coming back and finishing the other half. That's their second record. First one we did out at Parnell's, because we didn't have this yet.
Right.
but yeah, I mean, it, you know, to me it's... You know, one of the big things that is important to remember, and is one of our sort of fundamental things when we first decided to build from the ground up and do it this way, was we couldn't just do the big A room.
Right.
We had to have an amazing room, but a smaller room that's more affordable, so that a lot of those local bands that don't have the budget to get in the A room can still get in here and still work here and still get that experience.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, so it is an accessible studio. It's not just a premium high quality, you can't get in your studio.
Yeah.
And we want to work with artists, you know. It's like if their budget's smaller, sometimes we'll have a sit down and be like, okay, how can we make this work?
Yeah.
You know, because we want them in here, and it's like, it goes back to what Matt was saying, like I think in the future we're gonna be working with ASPVA, which
what's that?
Austin School for Performing and Visual Arts.
Oh, cool.
They have a music program there, and we're gonna, I'm friends with the people that run it, and so we're probably going to do something where students can come here, maybe sit in on some sessions, intern, or just be a part of the studio in a way like that. We're going to, you know, we're knock on wood, it's going to take off here pretty soon. We're actually opening a music school. We're going to teach lessons out of this back room over here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do guitar, bass, vocals, piano.
Awesome.
You know, it's just it's like what Matt said. It's like giving back and. We didn't just build this place trying to be narrow-minded or just thinking we're going to make money or not make money. It's like we want to do something for people. We want to do something for musicians, because that's who we are. You know, it's kind of who we care about. It sounds like that quote from what movie was that?
Yeah.
We sell our auto parts to the American working man because I'm orders like that.
Yeah. So tell me about live streaming sessions from Studio A. How did that idea come about?
That's a brand new venture. Go ahead.
Well, we had our grand opening party on the 16th of March, and Justin and Ryan from Blue October were in there singing and they're playing together, and I kind of came back. I was in there listening. I was like, oh, this sounds really good. We had a little PA set up, and there's probably about 60, 70 people in there. And then I came into the control room. And sat down, I remember I looked back, and there was like this lady like with a tear running down her face, and I was just like, man, this sounds really good. Like, it sounded so good. You know, we had like U87s on the vocals, you know, I think we had a 67 on the lead. I mean, it just sounded so good. And like later that evening I was like, golly, we should we should stream. Like, all of a sudden it was just like a light bulb went off. We were like, we should try to stream this at some point. This is really cool.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen other, you know, like Blue Rock has done stuff similar to that. And we were just kind of going, let's give it a shot, you know. And Quiet Company's been did their last record here. Matt produced it. Great bunch of guys, and we were like, you know, let's give it a shot. We reached out. We got a guy who's going to do the streaming part of it, and we're literally getting ready. I think Sunday he's going to be coming in. We're going to test, make sure that we're good to go. Hopefully we are good to go in terms of our, terms of our internet connection, all that kind of stuff.
And this will be free.
Yes.
And you got to catch it while it's going.
Yep.
Yes.
And will you be able to see it at orbrecordingstudios.com? That's where it will air, or it's going to air?
Livestream.com.
Yeah, it's live a stream. Live stream
event. The link is, it's a very special link, but okay. Anybody who goes to, I guess we can link it to the website somewhere.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
I put up a news thing, and so it's linked right there. You can click on it from our website. So.
Okay.
Eventually, we would, obviously, what we'd love to do is get to the point where on the website, it's as easy as just us hosting something, you know, doing something on
there.
Because we're going to do a few different type of things, you know. Like he said, what we want to do is we also want to do something that's very unique. And I think that the most important thing is obviously bringing that experience to people that can just do whatever they want. They can be in their pajamas and lay in a bed, and they can experience the studio and the band and be a part of it, which is the most important thing. But we have also talked about doing something beyond that that is a very unique thing that no one else is doing, that no other studio is doing, like maybe even doing some like a songwriter in the round live stream.
Right.
You know, maybe every season we do one where we could mix genres. We could, you know, there's all different kinds of things that we could do.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those fun shows that we used to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe where I would do push-ups and eat your french fries. So that's going to air on August 16th at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
That's correct.
And you know how long it's going to be? Like, is it like an hour?
Yeah, like 60 minutes, yeah.
It's normal? I guess there's no commercials, just straight up. There'll be interviews, and they'll also be playing?
They will be playing, and we will be doing a Q&A.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you guys watch a lot of those things?
Personally, I haven't.
I remember when they started those live at Daryl's house before it became an actual TV show.
Right.
It was a show on the web. And that was real good, too.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the cool thing to admit or not, but I actually like the Guitar Center sessions.
Yeah,
me too.
I think it's really cool.
I do too.
I love that they do that. You know, I don't obviously watch every one of them, but
no,
every once in a while the good artists are on there, I'm like, oh, that's
cool. Have good interviews.
Yeah,
and it sounds good. Mm-hmm. That's a really important thing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it'll speak volumes for the studio. It'll be great advertisement. You know?
It is, yeah. I mean, and hopefully, yeah. It brings that experience home. You know,
you're gonna have an audience.
We'll see.
Is there an audience?
Oh, you mean? I thought you meant.
No. Oh, is anyone gonna watch it?
Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Anyone will watch this show?
It's actually going to be a Black Fret event.
Okay.
And listening party for the new Quiet Company record. So we will have a small audience here.
Because Quiet Company is a Black Fret
nominee. Yep.
Okay.
Correct.
And so when do those, they nominated how many bands?
20.
20?
Yeah.
And
out
at
of
the end they give
200 and something?
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy amount of bands.
Okay. So how many people actually get the money? I interviewed them, but I can't remember offhand. What, like 10? Okay.
Yep.
10 people get like $10,000 or two.
Yep, they get the grants, and it's you know, all obviously for musical endeavors for the right reasons.
Right, and as a mentor, what did they come to you with?
Basically, I just crush all of their hopes and dreams, and I tell them the reality of the music business. I'm like, you're going to be broke, you're going to live in a van.
Tell them about the rip.
Yeah, you're going to drink way too much just to cope. You know, I mean, that's one of the things we were talking about today is that what I love about what the guys at Black Fret have done, if they put together a really diverse group of people, some of us do the same things, but nobody in the group necessarily all does the exact same thing. So we all have something different to offer, which is really cool. You know, people like Tim Palmer and Heather and Carlos and you know, Kevin Womack and just all these different people that are so great and so good at what they do, that have something to say and have something to offer, that these artists can go and get some real, like, firsthand experience and some real knowledge from.
Yeah, that's really important.
So we can, you know, maybe try to help them avoid some of those pitfalls that maybe we've made, or maybe even just answer some questions or give them advice and just you know, help them in the areas of need that, you know, the things that they actually need, you know.
Right. Anything from a practical, like, how do I get, you know, I want to open for better bands. What should I do?
Right. What
like,
do I do?
Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how, you know, in literally anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be anything.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, we pair up with the groups and we have mentoring sessions and, but it's very unique. It's definitely unique from one artist in one session to the next. It all depends on what the artist is looking for and what they need and what the mentor has to offer as well. You know, for me, if someone comes to me and they actually want my advice, God help them. I don't, you know, it would obviously be probably something about the record making process.
Right.
If it's anything beyond that, I probably don't have any good news for them.
No. Nothing. What do you guys think about, like, because you have an extremely high-end studio. It's going to put out some really amazing sounding records that are going to be squashed down to MP3s and then streamed on Pandora or Spotify.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
I didn't mean to pee on your dreams.
No, you know what? You're absolutely right. Yeah.
What do you guys think about that revolution?
Mastered for
and
iTunes.
Also, I mean, to be honest, on a financial level, you're also in a band that has sold millions of records that now... Remember when they sent out, they showed those things on social network of everyone's like Spotify checks, and they had like Desmond Childs for Living on a Prayer that had like 6 million spins, and he got like a $350 check.
Right. Yeah, somebody had like a $30 check for like a million.
Used to those checks.
Yeah, 19.
I
mean,
bucks.
You know, it's like you said. I think that.
I mean, you're staying in the business. Blue October isn't going anywhere. You guys are still going to be making records, putting them out, and touring. So what is it that there? You read articles in magazines that are completely frightening. You know that the music business is over. You start seeing things in like charts in Billboard that are just like trending. Like if someone said your name with a hashtag. The name of your album, you've got like a top 10 trending name or something.
Right,
like really, like they've had to change the scope because of things. Where do you guys stand on that?
I mean, to me, it's I definitely think that we're obviously in a huge transition. You know,
this huge.
This is the last few years. Things have just been flipped totally upside down. It's a completely different world we live in. And I think that just like anything else, there are major pros and cons to that.
Sure.
There are the obvious things that we could point out. Yeah, the artist doesn't make as much money, and downloads, you know, people make the argument that, you know, illegal downloading and you know, that takes money out of the artist's pockets for their hard work and this and that. But at the same time, you can't argue with the fact that there's more opportunity.
Way more.
For independent artists that don't need labels.
Right.
Well, to some degree, they don't need labels.
Right.
To get out there and be proactive and put their career in their own hands and handle things themselves and make things happen for themselves if they're smart about it and they work their asses off for it. And that didn't, I mean, that wasn't the case before. That wasn't how it worked. There were the have-nots and the have-nots, or the have-nots and the have-alls.
Yeah.
And now, I like to say that there's sort of this middle class of music.
It seems like it, yeah.
And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome too. Touring, it seems like people are realizing that they have to tour too.
Yeah.
It's more important
spread
than
the
ever.
Word. Yeah.
It's more important than ever.
Yeah.
Because you don't make money off record sales.
No.
Yeah.
You have to tour.
I think it's exactly what Matt said. Like, I think musicians are taking back the art.
Yeah.
Back to themselves.
Sure.
You know, it got so crazy for a while. You know, you read stories all the time, like, you know, some famous blues guitarist from the 60s, you know, sold 50 million records and is, you know, pretty much dead broke right now. Because the record labels made all the money and all that stuff. I just think, you know, musicians are taking their music back, and it is in a transition right now, but I think everything's going to land in the right places. I really do. I think, you know, I think music will always be here. Always be here.
Yeah, to me it's not scary. It's just kind of like the field just totally opened up again, and people kind of have to find their place, you know, to set up their camps and do their things again.
Yeah. And fans are somewhat dictating the way things go.
Yeah,
you know? And I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah,
you know,
Well, that's one thing you guys, I mean, you guys come from a band with a very dedicated and very, they have a lot, they almost have like a work ethic for a fan base,
very,
you know what I mean?
Very rabid.
Very passionate, very rabid.
Yeah.
Large, but still extremely rabid.
And we're really lucky connected. For that. We're really lucky to have that, but at the same time, to me, the thing to remember with that is that we've been a band for, well, Seb and I have been with the band since 2000. 14, 15 years now, and we spent a good portion of that time going out there and playing shows for nobody, and then it was two people, and then that two people brought two people, and then it was eight people, and then it was 20 people, and then it was 60 people. We built a fan base by touring and from the ground up. Totally grassroots, one fan at a time. And that, to me, I preach that to young bands that I work with. I'm like, you may have radio success, you may have a licensing opportunity.
Well, then when you did get a major label, well, you guys did have one in 2000, but then when you re-signed and you redid the thing, then you had a fan base that was waiting for that record, as opposed to like the way that when my band was handled, in a way, the way that even that we handled it was probably not the most genius way, like, hopefully we'll have a hit and everyone will find out who we are.
Right. Well,
because when it doesn't happen.
That's still the blueprint,
still the best thing. But, everybody could use that groundwork, so to speak.
I preach having a great live show, period.
Yeah, well, it's still, even if you can record a song on your phone and post it to the entire world, in a half an hour, and everyone can do it. You still got, when they come to the show, they still have to be blown away.
Absolutely. You got to back it up.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And that's the thing. You can come make. You know, slap auto tune on your voice and hire some players. But when you go do it to a show, I mean, that's how many of those guys like Johnny Cash and all those, the Bruce Springsteen. I mean, you go to their show and they literally, rock your face off.
The Blue Octobers.
You're totally just blown away every time. Like, and we get that a lot, especially in the band. Just that we deliver. We don't go into the studio and try to make a record that's so complicated that we can't go out there and pull it off live. If we can't pull it off live, it's like, let's not put down the record. So, but going back to like the touring thing, like the residency stuff we did in Chicago, like we based ourselves in Chicago and toured around markets within like a 2-hour drive. And there was this one place in Indianapolis where we literally, the first night we get there, it's literally the bartenders and a couple who just happened to walk in because they were thirsty and they wanted to grab some beers. At the end of this, we got done playing, there's two people sitting like 40 feet from the stage, they're clapping, and they bought a CD. But then we came back and there's like 40 people. And then we came back the next week and there was 120 people. And then we came back the fourth week and there was like 320 people there.
Wow.
So, I mean, and it was because those, like, that's a total advice for up and coming bands. Like, you gotta put your face out there. You gotta get out there and perform.
Yeah.
And deliver the package, put on the show, and then that too can happen. I mean, wow, two people to 300 something in 4 weeks.
And I feel like, I might sound like an old man or something, but like, I feel like we all are from that generation where that was what you were told to do. That was what was expected. You go out there and you tour your ass off and you create fans one fan at a time. It blows me away how many young artists act so shocked to hear that now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you mean I don't just go on a TV show and become famous?
Star? Yeah, I'm not a rock star.
I'm not. What do you mean? I thought YouTube was where it was all at.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah, those things help, but
they can.
Yeah.
For a little while.
Sure. Yeah, but you still got to be able to do it, and you still got to be out there working. So, do you guys know what's going on with Blue October you guys have plans to reconvene? Because Justin's on a solo tour.
Yeah.
He's actually he's out in LA right now. He's like at an acting school.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, that's awesome.
He's doing like these residency shows at a cafe there.
Mm-hmm. Hotel cafe.
Like, hotel cafe. Yeah.
He's doing a weekly show there. Then he gets back from that, and he is going on an open book tour for a few weeks, probably 4 or 5 weeks, and then we actually hit the road again November 12th.
Wow.
We'll kind of. don't even know where we're going, but we'll do probably East Coast, West Coast, and be home by Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, we're bouncing all over.
A little break for Thanksgiving type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then that'll be it, you know, depending on...
doing a live DVD?
Yeah, the 20th and 29th, we're shooting in Dallas at the House of Blues.
Oh, awesome. You guys shot another one there, didn't you?
We shot
a long time ago, there was one came out, maybe 10 years ago?
Lakewood Theater in
Lakewood
Dallas.
Theater. Yeah,
yeah.
I saw that. Tree, yeah. So. Yeah, that was actually a really well done concert. Didn't it have fans telling their stories and their connections to the songs and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it'll probably be similar to that kind of.
Yeah, there will be. We'll be 10 years older. Looking. Like I don't look as good in this DVD.
Older versions.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a sucker for you know live shows and live DVDs, and I like live albums too.
Yeah.
It's really exciting to us. You know, there's a little extra pressure, of course. It's like, oh man, I can't screw up.
No,
I gotta make
I don't
sure
imagine I now you guys
know all
screw
the songs,
up that much,
right?
Do you?
Every now and then.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Who doesn't?
We're human.
What else? Is there anything else that I'm missing? The live streaming sessions from Studio A airs August 16th, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, with Quiet Company playing. When does the Transgressor come out? Because I had Taylor on the show. We talked all about it.
And then he gave you no answers.
Gave me no answers.
He was dodging the question.
He said they're looking for a home for that record.
That is the process. And I've been talking to the guys quite a bit, and we've had a lot of exciting stuff come up. But it hasn't exactly pinpointed a date.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but I think that that's right around the corner. I think they're really close to knowing exactly when it's going to come out.
That's a band. This is a great example. And since we're actually even talking about this show, that's a band that goes out there. And like, if you're not in it by the end of that show,
something's wrong with you.
Yeah, you don't have feelings.
Yeah,
you're dead inside.
You know they.
well, they're just. I mean, their shows are playing today, right? Yeah, they're playing today.
Is that today? I don't even know what day of the week it is.
I think it's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah. They're playing today live at the Blues.
You know what I
was
on
green, sorry. Live on the Blues.
What I really loved about working with them and obviously I think their live show is fantastic because I had seen them a couple times, you know, when I actually worked with the band that was opening for them, and I remember saying to the band after I think Quiet Company was almost done with their set, and I was like, please don't take this the wrong way, but you guys have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Like watch, check them out.
Yeah.
You know, they're kicking everybody's ass right now. They're amazing. I was blown away when I saw him. Absolutely loved him. And then when I got him in the studio, I feel a little bit selfish because I got the record that they'd put a few records under their belt and they had become tight enough that they could play live.
Yeah.
And so I get to ease in at the last minute and go, oh yeah, you know. But it was the first full length record we did here at Orb, and it was live.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That
I mean, that
awesome.
To me was like, every day we'd come in here and we would do it, and it was just like every once in a while we'd just stop and go and listen to a take and go, you guys just did that.
Yeah.
You just did that. You did that.
Yeah.
That wasn't a bunch of triggered BS and
no.
And then us punching in a bunch of parts and this and that. That
yeah.
was you.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that stuff, but it is nice to know that that's still alive and well, because that's the thing that gives you... That's what makes your hair stand.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Magic.
Yeah.
I think there's an energy. You know, I mean, it. Some people just think I'm full of it or whatever. But I think that there's an energy that bleeds through when you get a band playing together.
Oh yeah.
I think that you know you can feel that and you can hear it and you feel it in your bones and that's one of the things I love about that record is that it's very real. There's like this intangible thing about it.
Was there anything out there where people can hear like a preview? I guess they can hear the preview of the songs when they watch on August 16th at 9
yes,
p.m. Central
yes,
Standard Time.
There you go.
Live
That's
streaming
it.
Sessions from Studio A at Orb Recording Studios.com. Well, they can go there to find out. It's Ustream, right? You know what you said?
Live stream.
Okay.
That was really good, man. Do you do like car commercials or anything? Because you have a soothing voice.
I do commercials for space.
Oh yeah!
Yeah, hey, nice. You been in Austin? You wanna? I did a really great one today.
That's great.
I love it. I'll do another one when I do this show. So, is there anything I'm missing? Anything that the people should know? They can go to orbrecordingstudios.com. There's photos, testimonials, and a video. That's amazing. Done by a guy that I met in there.
I would say, yeah, go to orbrecordingstudios.com, check out the video that was put together.
And you guys have links to stuff, which probably has the link to the live stream and the Black Fret, if people are hearing this and going like, wow, what is that? I want to get involved.
Most importantly, though, going back to what we said before, of course, go to the website and check all that out. But if you are a musician, or you are an artist, or you are a manager, or a label,
come here and check it out.
Come check it out.
Yeah.
Give us a shout. Come take a tour. Come see it for yourself.
Listen, number one, it's gorgeous. It smells great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes you go into a place. I have a friend that has a studio, and he gets a lot of work. And I went in there, and I was like, dude, we got to go into another room to do this interview, because this is terrible. But yeah, it has that. It has a very good vibe.
Too. You know,
it's not just a big place. It still has, you know what I mean? Because there's like all of a sudden it gets cold, but it still has a warmth and has this hacienda vibe to it too.
That's one of the things that we, you know, as musicians that we are really proud of about this place is that I think when the fact that this is built by musicians, I think shows, you know, it bleeds through because. The things that are easy to forget about when you're putting a studio together or building a studio, it can be so easy to just focus on the gear and the room and getting it tuned just right and this and that. You forget about the little things. You know, I'm a bass player. I spend 90% of making a record out on the couch, you know, or in the other room, when I'm not producing. We wanted to put together a space that, like you said, it's not cold and uninviting. No. It's the kind of place you feel like you're at home. You're hanging out, having a good time.
I wouldn't mind watching the Super Bowl here.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're going for.
Did you?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. That's awesome. Wow, I picked that out. I felt it. Had a Super Bowl vibe. Well, so people can come here, and then the number and everything's on there. You see it, you think, hey, this is something. And it is affordable. It looks, to somebody like myself, you go and you're like, oh, shit, man, I should go back to my apartment and just start recording again. Because it does look expensive, but it is not overwhelming.
No.
It's something that you can afford.
Absolutely.
And you can find a way to make it work.
Very fairly priced.
Yeah. And a day rate that's fairly priced that maybe if you rehearsed a little bit more at Space.
There you go.
Then you could come in prepared.
Then come here.
And then maybe not waste a bunch of time.
There you go.
Trying to make your dream.
Completely distracted, play Pac-Man all day.
And have to book
an extra week.
Yeah, that's also fine too.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck. This place is incredible. First class and very warm and homey as well. Comfortable place. Matt, CB, thank you guys. Yeah, Matt and CB. That's a band that Matt produced that you're listening to right now called Courier. Look them up online. Sounds great. We're going to listen to the rest of the song on the way out. I'd like to thank Matt and CB for inviting me over there. I had a great time. Jake and I both did. Jake went with me. We had a great time. Look for some pictures over there on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Thank you to Heather for setting it up. This was a great time, and I'm planning on going to Orb Recording Studios over and over again. Okay? And hanging out. Listen, while you're out there looking up bands and stuff on the internet and looking up orbrecordingstudios.com, get over there and like our Facebook page. And you can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy. You can find out in pictures and 40 words or less things I think and things I do. All right? Let's hear a little bit more of Courier, who recorded this record at Orb. All right? Orb Recording Studios. Thank you to CB and to Matt, and a special thanks to Heather for being smooth and setting it up. Why do I do that? I don't know. But I'm leaving that in because I think it's nice. Listen, this is the last regular show for this 298. Next week, we're going to have episode 299 with songs, and then episode 300 with the best parts of interviews that I thought were great. All right? Thank you so much for listening. You guys are great. Thank you to Matt and CB and Heather. Thank you to Jake for coming out there with me. Let's hear some more Courier. Let's get down.